and out of a sincere desire to support the spiritual idea. It's our collective hope to be so well prepared that we're clear enough to witness the birth of the new symbol of the Christ, that which is approaching with the oncoming millennium. And like the wise men of old, we too realize that we have to bring the child a gift, the gift of our consciousness, acknowledging its present universal mission. To do so effectively, we have to be cognizant of the difference of this present mission, the mission of the seventh stage of appearing consciousness, and its mission in ages past. With each advancing stage, a sleepy and dormant consciousness has been impelled to awaken more fully, to perceive and cope with its world in a totally new way. In order to do this, it's had to be open, to be receptive to the progressive momentum that was irresistibly urging it onward. It's had to be willing to abandon the old, inadequate frames of reference and make deep, fundamental changes. The only choice it's had in this matter was whether to willingly yield to the advancing stage or to resist it and suffer the consequences of attempting to operate in too limited a framework. It either voluntarily relinquished the old methods of the former paradigm or condemned itself to the narrow, restrictive confines of its solutions, condemned itself thereby to crisis. For as each new stage became more deeply felt and experienced, the patterns of the old one gradually became insufficient and eventually intolerable. This was and is inevitable, for no facet of consciousness can escape its ultimate awakening. It will awaken despite its reluctance or resistance. Max Kapler, in his booklet, The Spiritual Breakthrough to the Next Millennium, traces the spiritual journey of this consciousness as it awakens. He starts with the first awakening, the dawning of consciousness. Back in the period of primitive animism, where thought was gradually becoming aware of its own existence and questioning the source of that existence, it could feel somewhere inside of itself that something beyond itself was responsible for its life. But it had a very primitive consciousness, and therefore it didn't have adequate symbols to interpret that which it was feeling. So it could only represent its perceptions through vague mythological symbols. But luckily, it couldn't remain in that stage. For a second stage, he points out, was enforcing itself upon consciousness. Consciousness, in spite of itself, was being impelled beyond the limitations of its mythology, beyond the dreamy confines of its imagination, into what it felt to be the real world. It began to pick up a sense of history, to explain its world through stories of the past, and through this historical recounting, it began to give meaning to its existence. All kinds of legends and sagas, he pointed out, developed during that period. They weren't all accurate. There was fact mixed up with fiction. And what others had done or said became all important. It was in the forefront of the focus of consciousness during that period. But that stage too was doomed to be left behind. And with it, the fictional accounts of the distant past. In a further attempt to understand reality, consciousness transited its focus to the family, the clan, the tribe, the nation. Everything was considered in relationship to these symbols. Growth and maturity was obtained through the challenges that arose within the bounds of these limited confines. Fulfillment and achievement were judged solely by the expectations of the tribe or the nation. What was happening in the world as a whole was really of very little import at that point in history, as long as it didn't affect the contained unit, as long as it didn't affect one's family, one's clan, one's tribe, or one's nation. Now, since that time, 3 millenniums have passed, and yet I think it's fair to say that there are still vestiges of this third stage of consciousness to be found here, evidencing themselves on the earth. In fact, perhaps to some degree, we all have a tiny portion of our consciousness holding on to that stage. But as long as that's true, as long as any portion of the tribal consciousness prevails, global crisis will continue to be the result. If consciousness is seeking global peace, it will have to let go of its resistance to change and allow itself to totally change paradigm. It will have to join the biblical prophets and shift from physical to metaphysical symbols, exchange its limited earthy consciousness for one made up of philosophical values and spiritual ideals. Like the prophets, it will have to look to a divine force for its direction. And if it hasn't already, it will have to accept that the realm of ideas is superior to the realm of matter, and in fact controls it. We recognize that stage of consciousness as metaphysics, as a stage in consciousness where one comes away from focusing on the physical unit, the physical family unit, and realizes that all is idea. And ideas really come into the focus of the attention of that consciousness. Only then, will it be open to the fifth stage, or the fifth mutation of consciousness. Only then will it be able to respond, as Jesus did, to its own anointing, to awaken to the realization that the Godhead is not outside of itself, that its metaphysical qualities, the ideas that it's focusing on, are really qualities of its own being, ideas of its own being. And like Jesus, it will have to acknowledge its own Christ consciousness. It will have to realize its own divinity and demonstrate its own dominion over sin, disease, and death. At this point, and really only at this point, it will be open to the demands of the sixth and present stage of developing consciousness. It will be open to the collective mission of an absolute science of divine ideas. No longer will it need to focus on its individual demonstration over error. It will instead be free to focus on and imbibe the science and system of those spiritual ideas. It will be able to recognize their structure and trace their operation. It will find, as it continually defers to that principle, allowing it to interpret itself through its categories, allowing it to compute and calculate at its discretion, allowing it to operate unimpeded in consciousness, that the miscalculations that have formerly appeared will cease to appear. They will just stop appearing in its view, in its world, in its universe. And being a timeless, spaceless, ever-present and universally available system of ideas, it will finally prove itself to be the practical savior that consciousness has before only dreamed of finding. As the symbols of this stage are more deeply understood, consciousness is and will be preparing itself for the next stage, which is even now appearing on its doorstep. What is appearing? What's appearing on the doorstep of consciousness today? What is thrusting itself upon us? What is it that we're feeling inside that is coming to us that maybe we can or cannot recognize, but we're feeling the impact nonetheless? What is the shift that consciousness is being urged to make today? If consciousness has taken the collective mission of the sixth stage to heart, has studied, imbibed, and been altered by the spiritual ideas of being and their scientific classifications, it will, without effort, find itself making a very smooth transition into this seventh stage, a stage requiring a totally holistic consciousness. Without even noticing that it's happening, the tonality of the intersects of the categories, the tonality of the laws of those intersects, will have grown so full in consciousness that the ideas as such will just drop away. And being itself, through its model, will be felt and experienced as the new reality. Consciousness will find itself in the spiritual atmosphere of science, where the whole of being, though scientifically differentiated, always remains the whole. Most of the prior symbols will have faded away. Only the deep root notions of being, in their scientific categorical model will remain. The science of divine ideas will have become the science of being itself, where only its major classifications can be heard resounding in consciousness. No part of reality will be excluded from this consciousness. It will at last be fully awake. And isn't that what we all really want, ultimately, to be fully awake? And being awake, consciousness can at last leave all the symbols of reality behind, even the symbol of the model of being, with its deep root notions. It will, without effort, shift beyond symbol to the consciousness of the I am, where being is conscious only of its own infinite being, aware of itself as the infinite one. And this is our starting point for today. That high state of consciousness that is the infinite one, the infinite being, that which is being, being its own infinite being. And though our focus today will be on the science of ideas, though our focus today will be more accurately a 6,000-year focus, a sixth stage focus, still we must do our best to let the holistics of the seventh stage infiltrate and dominate our consciousness, and see if we can hold just that scientific model of being in the forefront of our consciousness. We must understand that the model is intrinsic to our own consciousness. It's not something outside of us. It's not something to be superimposed on us. It's really imprinted deep within our own being. So therefore, what we're doing is really unveiling, unraveling, awakening our understanding of the model of our own being and of the model of being itself. So let us try together not to view being as something outside of ourselves, not today to approach being and ask about being and question about being. What is it? How does it operate? What are its dimensions? That really is a fourth stage activity. That really is a metaphysical activity. That is to say, what is God? It's an approach. That's what are the ideas of God? We need to come from a much more scientific, much higher approach, even beyond the approach of realizing that the symbol of the model is the symbol of our model, the fifth stage, but just living within that model and letting its ideas resonate and calculate within our being, just letting them interpret themselves to us continually. And then go further together and let the holistics of the seventh stage of consciousness always bring us from the whole. So our approach, and it's wrong even to say our approach, but our inner focus together today and next Saturday will be coming out from being itself, coming out from the whole. And no matter where we focus within the model, never leaving the whole, always having the entire model present within the forefront of our consciousness. That model of being is symbolized for us by a chart, certainly a chart that most of you are very familiar with, a chart that was developed by John Dorley and used deeply by he and his students. It obviously is a symbol of the model of being as it elucidated itself to them and him at the time. It contains, as most of you know, the 15 root notions of being, the 7 synonymous terms for being itself, or that which being is, placed at various conjunctions in the model to signify various operations or dimensional operations or perspectives that are occurring within that model. The model really is a divine computer, and as that model is the model of our being, we must let the principle that regulates that divine computer regulate the divine computer of our being. We must let that principle therefore interpret its model within our being consistently, constantly, in every case, in every position that we take. During the last few months, when I was aware that this subject needed some deep consideration and that it was a right idea for me to share that view with others, I also was impelled to put together a booklet of the laws that are contained within this model of being. The booklet contains the structure of the model of being, as well as various other structures that came to me to represent various levels or aspects of that model in a way that might be helpful in elucidating the various levels of spiritual consciousness and the laws that appear on those levels. It certainly has a unique mission of its own. It is not to take the place of any of the study aids, guides, books that have come prior to it, for it fills a different office. As you know, the laws were presented originally by Max Kapler in his book, The 4 Levels of Spiritual Consciousness, and presented really well, or the rest of us wouldn't be so fortunate as to be sitting here today flowing with those laws and being able to focus upon those laws. He further was able to elucidate it in order to share his understanding with us. In 1973, when through various summer schools throughout the world, he presented the laws of the model of being. And for that, I remain deeply grateful. And I'm sure that those of you who have imbibed those laws feel the same way. This presentation will come from a different standpoint. It is not a re-presentation of that which is held in the Four Levels book or in the wonderful tapes of the summer schools that were presented in 1973. It has the mission of being a holistic viewpoint, the mission of being able to imbibe the science of divine ideas, or the sixth stage, or the model as it computes itself, from the standpoint of the seven, from the standpoint of the whole. And for the duration of today and next week, no matter what law we are focusing on, we will always come out from the whole. We will never leave the whole. And whatever exploration that we do together will be within the whole. It will truly not be an ascending, learning, searching for an understanding of the law's standpoint, but more accurately, a descending flow. We will come out from being together, letting it come to us, letting it interpret within us that which it is, really allowing the deep cybernetic model that is intrinsically within our being to awaken so fully that it's just operating without any impediment, just fully flowing and moving and bringing forth new views of itself, never repeating itself, just forever bringing us new views together, collectively. Views I'm sure that I have not even looked at before, that you have not even looked at before, but that collectively, together, we will unfold and experience and see and appreciate and, earthy term, wallow in. We will just sit in this wonderful consciousness of the whole and let its laws just fill our being so totally that we are just immersed in the inner calculus of our own model, in the inner calculus of our own being. And with that, we're going to turn the tape.